Hey, welcome to the Monkey House Primates.
So, thanks so much. I've asked around here to quickly let you all know that we're in Sydney. We're about to be in Brisbane. So very quick stop in Sydney. We're just here for a few nights. So come and see us. And then what are we doing?
We're going up to Brisbane. We're going to do a Who Knew It with Matt Stewart at Good Chat. And we're also doing a couple of Dryers, our comedy festival show. It's the last run of the whole tour. So come on down, Brisbane.
That's right. And in Sydney, we're at the Manning Bar and at the Chippo for the Who Knew It. Really pumped up. Hopefully see you all there. Now on with the show. Ook ook. What is that? What the monkey say?
Yeah, ooga chacha.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Welcome to Primates, the podcast where we explore primates in popular culture from Chimpan A all the way down to Chimpan Z. This week, joining us in the Monkey House is returning amateur primatologist at Saranjaya Mana.
Thanks for having me. And one day I'll rise above amateur.
Oh, you think you're going to...
Aspiration.
Yeah, you're going to go pro.
Yeah, I mean, I've been here how many times? Three, four, potentially five.
I would say quite a few more times than
okay.
that.
But All right.
I'm not sure. You've done at least.
I've blocked a lot out of my memory. But
maybe it is only at least half a dozen.
Okay. And I feel like it's generous of you to keep asking me back.
Is it like an Olympian boxer thing that you're remaining amateur so you can still be eligible for the Olympics?
Yeah, that's why.
You don't want to go pro.
Because I'm hanging out. I think one year they will introduce primatology into the Olympics.
You know, they've had some really strange ones.
They've had weirder sports than primatology.
They had poetry. They had solo synchronized swimming.
What's that, swimming?
That's what, yeah, I don't know. I guess synchronized to the music. But anyway, weird ones.
Yeah, that's fair.
What are you up to at the moment? You asked to be in the Monkey House, did you not?
Yeah, I asked to be here because I've got something very important to plug. Do you know what it is?
I have a funny feeling, but okay. I'd love to hear
Let
what
me
it
tell
is.
You.
Straight out of the horse's mouth.
In less than, I don't know when this is coming out.
Is we hearing it out of the horse's mouth? Not in the Monkey House.
I can be the horse today.
No, I think you're we'll hear it straight from the
ear. Well, I'm not the mouth. Monkey. I'm an amateur primatologist. I wouldn't be a monkey with amateur knowledge of my own.
True.
Kind.
That's a good point.
We're pushing the plug further and further back. Okay, so in Sydney, that's where you live, or if you live in Brisbane, guess what? I'm coming up to do a show called Dryer with my good friend Matt Stewart at the Sydney Comedy Festival and the Brisbane Comedy Festival very soon. I think it's the 8th.
8th to the 12th in Sydney.
In Sydney, and then 17th to the 19th.
Not even a week after.
Yes.
We're going straight from Sydney to Brisbane.
There'll be some podcasts there, I think, as well.
Yeah, we're doing, on the 13th, we're doing a Who Knew With Matt Stewart, and we're doing one in Brisbane as well.
Yeah, so that's a lot of fun over the next 2 weeks.
Yes. I'd love to see you at all those shows. If you're in the area of Sydney, Australia, or Brisbane, Australia. It'd be great to see it because we've already done the show like 20 times and it has changed quite a lot since the start.
Yeah, and it's been a lot of fun. It's loose and we're mucking around. We're figuring out. Yeah, I never know whether to say that. Should you cut that out? If you want to be part of the process of two very good comedians ironing out the material.
Because
and it's very ironed out by this
point. Yeah, we started it. Well, I mean, you started in Perth. I missed Perth because I got a virus. But since Adelaide.
You can tell them which virus.
Okay. The 19th corona. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
COVID. The 19th COVID. But yeah, Adelaide, we did. Well, we must have done 20, nearly 25 shows or something.
Yeah, probably more.
So it's, Adelaide didn't see the best of it.
And they never do. But they're the ones who choose to go have their festival first. And it's not alphabetical. You might think it is, but Brisbane's last.
Yeah, that's right. And Melbourne's in the middle, which makes about right sense because it is the 13th letter of 26.
Yes.
M.
So Melbourne got it right.
Melbourne got it right.
Sydney's towards the end.
Sydney's not done so bad.
Yeah.
Just so seems like Brisbane. And Perth.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So true. They're first. What's
come
going on
Perth.
We'll be there. I think it's been a lot of fun. And I think if you want to see two good comedians having fun and being loose, mucking around, but also working on material that's pretty well tested, it's a great, great hour of your life.
And yeah, we're normally hanging around after for a drink if you want to hang around. Oh, I was going to say, if anyone does, I've got the last small handful of pins with my face on it. And after a show, where were we when someone said that it was a bit...
narcissistic.
A bit narcissistic for me to be... But I'm like, but they just asked me for one.
Yes, we were. That was at the Grace Darling.
Oh, right.
Where we were doing our Melbourne shows. And those pins were pretty red hot.
Yeah, I reckon I've got less than 10 left. So if you come to one of the shows and ask me nicely afterwards, pretty nicely, doesn't have to be super nice. But anyway, there's be quite a few people listening who don't give a shit about any of that because we are here to talk about a film. Can I call it a film?
You can call it a movie.
Okay. It's called Godzilla X Kong. Oh, it wasn't versus Kong at all. Godzilla X Kong. And going in, we're like, oh, does this mean that it's not Kong anymore? In what way is it X? But it turns out it was Kong X for multiply.
Yes.
Multiple Kong.
It was the multiple of Godzilla and Kong. And in many ways, that's reflected in the film/movie.
Mm. It also had...
Spoilers.
It had a vertical umlaut, aka a colon, and and then it said the new empire.
Are you sure that's not a colon to the side of the X? That's an umlaut on the X, but it's just to the side of the X.
Oh.
Where's the...
That makes it like a squinting smiley face.
Oh, where's the... Yeah, where...
The colon's after the Kong.
Oh, okay. So then my point is moot.
Yeah, it is very moot. But anyway, this was suggested just by the one listener named Eli, in brackets, just in case, since sometimes people say Ellie, it's pronounced like Eli, short for Elijah. Well, Eli, it was just in case... Wasn't required in the end, but I appreciate it anyway, because as long-term listeners will know, I pronounce very few words correctly.
And of course, there's Ellie Weasel, who is also an Elijah.
Oh, who's Ellie Weasel from World War II?
Yes, who wrote the book Night, which I read in high school.
I read that in high school
well. There you go. So a lot of people would have read that in high school and then would be responding to Eli.
Yes.
And they'd call him Ellie.
Ellie, yeah, come on, disrespectful. It's Elijah / Eli.
Eli.
And Eli, oh my God, is from Sydney, Australia.
One of the good cities?
One of those cities we're going to. So Eli, we hope to see you there. Honestly, if we don't, I'd be disappointed. No pressure, but,
Come get a badge.
Come get a badge and bring all your friends and family. Tickets on sale now. Go to mattstewartcomedy.com. If you're listening to this in the future, we're talking in 2024. I'm probably doing another show with Saran. Just look us up. So this is what Eli wrote. I think the other Kong movies have been done, and this has more big primates, brackets, and even some littler big primates. Yes.
That's a good sizzle there by Eli.
Very good sizzle from Eli. Eli also has a question. Do you want that now or do you want it later?
Let's open with the question. Or should we give some context about the movie?
Yeah, well, the question's more of a loose question.
Okay.
What primate would you turn into a Kong-style kaiju, as in like a big titan?
Titan, okay.
Monster.
So the kaijus and the titans are that's the Japanese
kaijus. Yeah, it's
kind of
like Japanese big monsters.
Yep. Do we have big monsters?
We have megafauna.
Okay.
Which are extinct marsupials mainly, I think.
Oh, right.
Actually, not all extinct. I think the red kangaroo is technically a megafauna, but... The one I always think about is
the big
huge
dog.
Wombat.
Oh.
Oh, you're thinking of...
Big Dog.
Big Dog.
Another movie.
Down the pub.
Okay, so which... All right.
Primate.
This
and if
is
you want...
Question.
Eli has answered it, which I always suggest people do if they can.
Okay.
Eli says, I'd love to see some sort of small primate, like a pygmy marmoset, or the best, aka the macaque.
The macaque.
Or macaque, depending on where you are in the world and what they've done with your wife. That will change how you pronounce that.
What have you done with my wife?
No, generally.
Oh, I like the Pygmy Marmoset.
Pygmy Marmoset's fantastic.
That as a... are we talking Hero Eli or are we talking... I mean, they're just one of the kaijus, so it could be... They could ride it either way.
Yeah.
But are we thinking... Because I feel like Pygmy Marmoset has a little bit of collaborator in vibes. Almost similar to the little ape that was in this movie.
Yeah.
Where it's sort of like on Kong's side.
Yeah, eventually. Jeez, let him astray a few times first.
Kong has to earn the trust.
Yeah.
Of the Pygmy Marmoset.
Which makes sense because you find out soon that he's come from a pretty rough upbringing.
All right, so I'm just going to quickly browse because whenever there's a question like this on your podcast about which primate would I choose, I feel like it has to be an informed choice.
While you're doing that, I'll think because I feel like I'm a bit boring with my answers. I nearly always say...
Proboscis monkey.
Oh, my God. Imagine that big, big floppy Probos. Nose just flopping about.
I reckon that's how it's taken out.
Knocking buildings down with its schnoz.
Yeah. There's got to be a scene where it's like Golden Gate Bridge and going up against proboscis.
Yeah. And that might be how they... I don't know if you noticed this, but they're all sort of like Ken doll down there.
Yes.
They're all, that's just snubs.
Yeah.
Just little mounds. Maybe this is how they get around that. Obviously, they didn't want Kong, you know, floating in the breeze.
Yeah.
So maybe instead you put it up on his face.
Up on the provos.
Yeah. That's a great, great idea. And maybe I was thinking like a ringtail lemur. You know, it could be like the Godzilla style because he's got the tail,
yep.
Big swooping black and white striped tail.
Well, I'm imagining the probos. I don't know if that is, as an amateur primatologist, that is the correct term for the nose. But I'm imagining that the probos, it's sort of in the way that Godzilla can absorb like radiation and stuff. I think it's starting to glow pink.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like the spines on the back of Godzilla.
Like the spines on the back of Godzilla.
You know where the more energy that the proboscis or proboscis.
Maybe proboscis.
I can't remember.
Probos.
The probos.
Yep.
It swells.
Yeah.
But it glows.
But it glows.
Yeah.
So you're always aware of what you're dealing with.
Maybe it could get, it swells and maybe even gets erect.
Yeah. Okay. Is that different to swelling?
Well, swelling, I think, is just being gorged.
Okay.
But it could still be flop hanging, you know. But if it's like...
So it's more rigid.
If it becomes rigid, yes. It almost becomes like a unicorn monkey.
Yeah. So you get... It's a disadvantage kind of for the proboscis monkey kaiju to get too excited because it loses some of that flop. Which is
well, maybe that's
the advantage.
Maybe more like its Pokemon final form, right? Where it just becomes like a rhino monkey and it can charge.
Yeah.
Maybe it becomes like literally like horny.
Yes.
And can take down enemies that way.
Yeah. And then it's really a question as to what help does Kong have to destroy this proboscis monkey?
Mm.
Because in this film, I feel like I want to reference heaps of things from this movie now. Maybe we should do the plot.
Yeah, let's get into the plot because obviously it's a strong plot.
But I hope you like that answer, Eli.
Yeah, because I like the question.
I love the question and I hope someone from the Marvel Cinematic Universe, I don't know who make these movies.
I forgot to post this after a recent episode that you weren't on, but... that we talked about merging two animals, and I suggested, I think, merging Kong and Godzilla, and there is artwork that's
been
done.
Made.
Yeah. So that's like just like...
Kongzilla.
Kongzilla. So I'm going to have to... I've got to try and remember to post that out. But anyway, yeah, let's get into the synopsis.
You've just made me realize that Godzilla is could be a portmanteau of gorilla... But he's actually a lizard. They waste. That seems like a missed opportunity.
Yeah. Zilla.
Got and
Godzilla.
Yeah.
Godzilla.
And then DZ.
Holy shit.
I don't know if there's any relevance to that.
I think there's a lot of relevance to that. Because I've never counted Godzilla as a primate before, but nah, I think
it's opening it up.
What you're saying to me means that maybe he's been a primate all along.
Okay, so did you know that this is called the Monsterverse?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe. Yeah, I think so. Did you?
No, I didn't.
It's a box office hit. I should say that right off the top.
Yes, that's important.
Budget was about $150 million. Box office, $521.4 million. I don't think that updated for our two tickets this morning. And we were literally the only two in quite a large cinema. Well, that must have been, what was that, 120 seat or something?
Oh, like at least.
It was a proper...
Yeah, big theater.
Big theater, and it was empty.
And yet I did note that you decided to sit right next to me.
I thought there's two ways of playing this. I thought it'd be weird not to, but depending on.
I thought but for the gag, it would have been pretty funny for you to just go somewhere else.
Oh, yeah. Because honestly, you sat in a different row to me. You sat around middle.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm more like a three quarters back middle.
We had the very last row, the ticket.
Really?
Yeah. But I didn't want to.
Yeah,
okay. Felt like a waste in that cinema.
Yeah. Well, you should have probably watched every 10 minutes from a different seat.
It's like when you go to a comedy show, if it's poor, if it's low attendance, you kind of want to believe there's people behind you.
Mm.
So I didn't want to be in the back row and see an empty cinema. Yeah,
yeah, true. We did get a photo. I got a photo of you, sir, and I'll have to try and remember to post as well, where you can play a game of Where's Sereni? Or Where's Sorrento for the American listeners? Because luckily you were in a red top and you stood out pretty much. But all right, so I found this great website. It's called wikipedia.org,
uh-huh.
Which I think is some sort of a kaiju movie database.
Okay, they're going deep on the Monsterverse.
Yeah, so they've got a plot here. And this movie follows on from the last one we talked about. Although last time
talked about one previously?
Yeah. Remember in Adelaide, it was an episode unofficially sponsored by Big Shed Brewing?
Oh, yeah, I do remember the Big Shed.
Yeah, we drank one of each of their beers and we talked about this movie or that movie, which
was... Oh, that's right. We were quite pissed.
Yes.
And somehow it made more sense then.
Yeah, although I think we thought the center of the earth was outer space.
Oh, true.
Until maybe we read the synopsis, I can't remember. But
give us the synopsis from Wikipedia.
So it writes, 3 years after... After defeating Mechagodzilla, which is what we must have watched last time, Kong has established his new territory in the Hollow Earth, which, of course, is like the inside of the Earth. Which
of course.
I don't know if we... Maybe at some point you can look up how the sun shines there and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Because you did mention that quite a few times in the cinema.
It really bothered me. If you've seen this movie, and Eli, you have, I want someone to be able to tell us. We're in the Hollow Earth, so it's also, sort of like...
It's funny because throughout the movie, they were explaining everything that happened with pseudoscience. So it's funny that one didn't get explained, or maybe it did. But everything else was like, oh, they're pouring that blue paint being poured in. That is having a molecular effect on the gravity. And it'll last for a few minutes or something like that. They're just like... This guy's a blogger. Just
it would get more specific and be like
having an absolute guess. But I think that was
a bit tongue in cheek.
Tongue in cheek. I'm pretty sure. Anyway, so he's in the Hollow Earth and he's searching for more of his kind. He seems lonely. We start off with him he's being chased by these funny looking dog wolf beasts, and he ends up like he's built a lot of traps, and he ends up ripping one apart and sort of drenching. It's green blood all over him, scaring off the others. And then, there's a few sort of slapstick moments.
That is comedy. Quite a comic opening to this movie because it feels dramatic right off the bat. We've got a chase thing. There's a lot of destruction. And then he tears it apart and he's sort of bathing in the green goo.
Just sending a message. Dogs. Yeah. I'm not afraid. I'll literally rip you in half and bathe in your blood, your green blood.
Yeah.
Which is, there's multiple different species down there end up having green blood. That's
it's a Hollow Earth thing.
Yeah. You wouldn't understand. Godzilla on the other hand, is on the Earth's surface and continues to maintain order between humanity and giant monsters known as Titans, killing Sylla, sorry if that's wrong, in Rome, and resting in the Colosseum afterwards. Man, do they take down some old, like these ancient buildings and artifacts that have survived so long. These Titans don't give a shit about them.
They don't give a fuck.
They just don't care.
There's two ways to look at it. One is to believe, suspend your disbelief and just be in the world that's being portrayed, in which case, yeah, the Titans have no respect. They have absolutely no respect for these great artifacts of human ingenuity and achievement, like the Colosseum.
Godzilla wakes up from the Colosseum. He seems like he's slept on the ground inside and probably doing minimum damage. But when he wakes up and walks out, he just tramples
right through it.
It's like, bro.
Walks through the wall.
What the heck, man?
They're crushing the pyramids. They take each pyramid one by one.
You couldn't believe it. There's so much desert out there.
Yeah. That brings me to the second way of the second perspective, which is looking at it from the perspective of the filmmakers, okay, who are like, isn't it great if we have these spectacles? It creates real drama and excitement that these buildings are suddenly being destroyed. But they've killed them all now. Yeah. What's next? The next movie it's going to be the Big Prawn.
I think Big Prawn. Yeah. I don't think they've taken down any of the big Australian landmarks.
They haven't taken down any of the big Australian. They could do the Marino, the big Marino.
Outside of Hobart.
Yeah.
Yeah, the big Bob, Rambo, the big Marino.
Big Banana in Coolangatta.
That's true. That's a good one.
So maybe
that one works well for Godzilla too. Gorilla. So we're now pronouncing him by the correct.
So in Eli's dream spin-off, we get proboscis monkey.
Yeah.
And trashing all of the big things.
The big things, yeah. Big Ned Kelly and Glenn Rowan. There's so many. I've recently joined a Facebook group, which is, for the most part, people misunderstanding what Australian big things are and posting photos with like things that are no doubt bigger, but it'll be like an ice cream cone bin, you know, at an ice cream shop, but it's shaped like an ice cream. It's like, that's big compared to a normal ice cream. That's not an Australian big thing. I'd say 3 out of 4 are people posting something like that. And yeah, but anyway, I don't want to be a gatekeeper on big thing culture. I mean, these movies, they're made for big things.
Yes.
Honestly, yeah, Kong Down Under, make it happen.
Yeah, and I get the feeling they film it here anyway.
Mm.
Some of the cast were Australian or Kiwi actors.
Yeah.
So I reckon.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
You called that. It was filmed on the Gold Coast in Queensland.
You know, I'll tell you why. The main actress who plays, she's like the scientist who works for Monarch, and she's the one who...
She's Australian.
No. No, I don't think so. But she, halfway through the movie, I was like, she looks a bit like Hannah Camilleri, who's a very funny comedian from Australia. And I was like, she looks like Hannah Camilleri. And then the next person was this actor called Chike, who... Actually, I do know. So it was. So in my head, I was sort of like, am I just thinking everyone looks like someone?
Yeah, right.
No, actually, I do know who that is.
That's why.
So
you were locked in quickly that it was an Australian production.
Yes. But the point
is, our tax dollars going towards this cinema.
Yeah. Yeah.
You never get that. You get it with the ABC, Australian Broadcasting Corporation, which is the national broadcaster here. You'll get people complaining a lot about whatever's on there. These are our taxpayers' dollars. But you don't hear that about Godzilla X Kong.
No.
Which would have been like a lot of government dollars, tax dollars, I assume, subsidizing this production.
Probably.
Which is for the benefit of the film industry in Australia, but it is funny.
Well, we got the MCU here, Marvel Cinematic Universe, but the MonsterVerse.
That got you there. You're part of it.
Maybe that's why I'm being a bit harsh on this film, because to me it is a rival.
Yes, it's a rival CU.
It is.
We haven't got far into this synopsis.
Sorry, keep going.
But I love that idea about Australian big things getting involved.
So the thing, though, that we did note at this point of the film synopsis is that the world is aware of these monsters. Yeah. And they're a little bit nervous about what's going to, is the destruction that Godzilla wrought on the earth, is that going to happen again? And this lady, the main lady, is she's being interviewed on TV. She says, no, as long as Godzilla's away from Gorilla, what's his name?
Kong.
Kong. As long as they're kept apart, then there won't be any drama and we've got nothing to worry about. And then it cuts to Godzilla fighting some giant crab.
Yeah. It's like straight away. I mean, there are some things to worry about. That actor you're talking about, Rebecca Hall, an English actor.
Okay.
I mean.
Well, I think Hannah Camilleri could have played it with even more poise.
Why not? I feel a bit disappointed that I think part of it should be we'll subsidise your huge production so if you film in Australia, but also it has to star Australians.
Yeah, either
Australian accent.
People and accents or big things.
Yeah, big things. Yeah. Either the things, it either has to be set here or all the actors have to be in. Or it can be English actors, but they have to put on an Australian accent.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we were watching the previews before this came on, and yes, we did go see it at the cinema, and it was a great experience.
Yeah, we had it to ourselves, Daddy Warbucks style. We felt like billionaires.
But there was a preview for the new Mad Max film, and I don't know this, but it sounded like they're all putting on Aussie accents. And if they're not, then that's a brilliant idea, and we should make a movie where other actors from around the world inhabit a world that's...
I think maybe, I don't know if there's any Hollywood heavyweights listening or lightweights. if you want to kick in, me and Saran will write a script for a film about Australian big things. It'll be like a low budget or big budget if you have it, monster movie involving Australian big things and not a direct knockoff of the Monsterverse, but basically.
Yeah.
For legal reasons, it's not, or it is, it's parody. And you can't touch us.
That might be the safest.
We'll figure out we figure out the loopholes and we'll jump through whatever it is. What are we talking about? So, Godzilla's on Earth, Kong's in Earth. Godzilla's inert, Kong's
on Earth.
On Earth. a monarch, and monarch's like the big operation looks after him.
Yeah, they're like. Graphic design and stuff makes them look like some ominous evil corporation.
Yeah.
But they also seem to be doing...
A lot of sharp edges.
Yes.
But yeah, they have technology,
they've got an app that seems... That's the kind of thing that big tech would have.
Yeah, data mining.
Yeah. But they're actually the good guys, I think.
As far as we can tell.
Yeah.
So it says, a Monarch observation outpost stationed in Hollow Earth picks up an unidentified signal. The signal is... three triangles. And on the surface, the signal causes Gia, the last known survivor of the Iwi tribe from Skull Island, to experience hallucinations and visions, causing her adoptive mother, Rebecca Hall, playing Dr. Eileen Andrews, to worry. And sensing the signal, Godzilla leaves Rome and attacks a nuclear plant in France to absorb radiation. He then heads to the lair of the Titan Tiamat, in the Arctic, which is like a sort of like a, looks like, is that the one that looked like kind of like a Chinese dragon, only like an icy version of it? Monarch believes Godzilla is strengthening himself for an oncoming threat. And the whole way through, we see what Godzilla's up to, and then we hear them chatting about it, like basically commentating it for our benefit.
There's always a chopper that's sort of within earshot of Godzilla, and we can hear their radio transmission.
Having a very accurate guess as to what's going on.
Yeah. And it's very useful.
It is.
I for one, am a fan of this chopper. I don't know if it's a documentary team that's following by... But they are giving us...
It could be the monster versus David Attenborough.
It could be. Yeah. And thank God for him because they're giving us some pretty important updates.
Yeah, because otherwise...
Special comments.
I wouldn't mind watching this film with all the humans taken out of it, basically, and it just being like an immersive Attenborough-style thing.
Yes.
I think that might... And him, like, literally guessing. The problem is...
That would be... If they could commit to that for 90 minutes, that would be pretty funny.
I think I'd enjoy it because my favorite bits of it are when they're just walking through the jungle.
Yeah.
Watching Kong get about whatever he's up to.
Yeah, he's sliding around.
Army-based stuff. That's when I switched off a bit. And they, like, did exposition, like, really blatant stuff. But
I think that they it's so useful that they have those updates.
It is, yeah, very helpful.
I almost feel like with football, it's the same. Where the camera gets too close.
It does.
And you can't see the perspective of the whole... You can't see the game unfolding. You want to be zoomed out. It's almost better to watch it live. I kind of think that with Kong.
Yes. I think, we just should, as you know, for us it would have been great because we would have been the only two people in Hollow Earth today.
Yes.
And we just wander around watching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be amazing.
That'd be great. I think that'd be the best. Or from the grandstand.
Yeah.
Maybe if we could build
more of a bird's eye perspective.
A dome, you know, a Telstra dome / Marvel Stadium. Yeah. Actually, that might be a conflict there. They need to build a Monsterverse Stadium. I'm actually going my first footy game for the year this week.
Oh, great.
Going with Patreons from this show, one of our great Patreons. She works for the AFL. I don't know.
Yes.
I'm just thinking now, I don't know if I should be saying her name, so I won't. But she's organising tickets for a group of us to go.
How exciting is that?
Pretty fun.
St Kilda.
Yeah, versus North Melbourne, please. I feel like part of me is like...
Have you picked the one game that you feel is a safe bet?
It was one of the couple of options, but I did say, you know, that of all the games is the one we should definitely win. But, you know, that doesn't always mean that you do. Anyway, go to patreon.com/dougalandpod if you want to...
Come to the football.
Well, you know, then all sorts of fun things happen there. We do catch up, like a bunch of catch-ups me and Serena have done after shows we set up via the Patreon group. Anyway, so a sinkhole opens up near his home and Kong discovers an uncharted realm where a tribe of his species have survived, including a juvenile named Suko. Why would we know its name? How would we possibly know its name?
Yeah, I don't think it was said, but it might have been, and I just don't speak
Oh, true. Kong. I don't speak Kong either. You know what the tease was? And I think the Kong films are pretty fun. I enjoyed probably the Skull Island one the most, and Godzilla's been a bit of fun as well, but I probably prefer the ones without Godzilla.
Yeah.
But the preview beforehand was for my favourite movie ape franchise, the Planet of the Apes, and the new one coming out, and it's just a lot more of a coherent story.
I think it's a contained world where it's like you've got two plots for half of this movie, where it's sort of Godzilla's off on his own and Kong's off on his own, and it is. I don't think they really have the time to do either justice.
Mm.
So they're pretty much just telling you what's happening.
Yeah.
Through a voice in the sky kind of thing. And the Hollow Earth is like, I don't understand how there's light there.
I couldn't figure it. Google didn't help.
Well, I found a Reddit thing and they were like, it's light from the core of the earth.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. It's like a center sun.
Yeah, it's a center sun.
But I love the look of the Hollow Earth.
Yeah.
Man,
it's beautiful.
They must find it hard not to call it Middle Earth. But that's already been taken.
Yeah.
By a different
That verse. Would be the only reason that
is that the Hobbit
with
verse?
Hollow Earth. Because the Earth is hollow is what they're saying.
Yeah.
But then what's Hollow Earth?
Hmm.
They've been putting questions.
Anyway, so he finds this other species, and it did feel a bit like at this point we were actually watching Donkey Kong the movie.
Yeah.
Because they were just bouncing through different stages.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden we've got Diddy Kong.
Diddy Kong's in there. They borrowed from the Donkey Kong franchise. I swear that came up last time we spoke about.
Probably.
Where the boundaries are.
Yeah. And maybe like in this movie, the boundary is this organic matter. just separating the two worlds. But yeah, so he starts finding, and they go and, yeah, we hear that there's only 5% of Hollow Earth is charted. And I reckon in this movie, they find a bunch of different extra realms.
Yeah, they keep going. It's like they haven't even found all of Hollow Earth yet, but they move on to another subterranean.
Yeah. Yeah, is that different from Hollow Earth or is it all Hollow Earth?
It came up with a little caption.
Yeah.
So I feel like it felt like a new realm.
Which is, you know, I used to play Donkey Kong Country years ago as a kid, and And it felt a bit like that, you know.
When you move to a new world.
Yeah, new world, the new map, it felt a bit like that.
Yeah, it's kind of hitting on so many different things. There's a bit of slapstick comedy.
Yeah.
There's a bit of video game kind of like you're moving through levels.
What was there? Was the biggest slapstick comedy bit where he punched him?
He punches the guy in the face.
And he falls down with his tongue hanging out. It was very cartoonish. Yeah, there's so many different tones in it.
It was like a big build-up to this confrontation between the two apes, and then he just rocks them.
Before we go on, can I just get you to guess at the Rotten Tomatoes score for both the Splatometer, the reviewer's score, and then the audience score.
Okay.
And there is quite a discrepancy.
All right, I'm going to go audience gave it 87%.
Very close, 91.
Whoa.
and reviewers?
Okay, this is why they keep making these movies.
Mm.
Audiences love
people
them.
Love them, yeah. Okay. And they make a lot of money.
And the reviewers, I'm going to say 37.
No, 54.
Okay.
So, the critics' consensus, come to Godzilla X Kong, the new empire, for the sheer monster-mashing spectacle, and stay for that too, because the movie doesn't have much else to offer. That was, so you said it. Let's keep going through the thing, and then you can do your quips as we go. It was great to see him live, though. Because it did feel like, you mentioned at some point, it was just like, there's not a lot of story. It's just writing, how do we get from this kaiju battle to the next one?
Yeah, so this is the Chinese dragon one.
Yeah.
Which I think to me was the most disappointing part of the whole movie. Like it is, it's rollicking, it's entertaining. It does feel like a lot of they're over-explaining things because they don't want to waste time on building these complex explanations. So they just tell you what's happening. Then they get to a fight, but then it cuts away from the fight. I think it's Kong fighting this.
Oh, yeah, one of the sea.
Oh, it wasn't the Chinese
dragon. Not the Chinese dragon.
It was just this other snake.
Another, water snake.
Water snake. And Kong's fighting it, and it looks like it's going to be an epic battle. And then it cuts to the little Diddy Kong. He's trying to escape it.
Mm.
And he looks around and then all of a sudden his head flies.
Yeah.
And it's like the fight's over.
Kong's defeated it. Yeah. But that part
of
the world.
That's the bit you want to show.
And I love that area.
Yeah.
That
lake. Beautiful.
I want to be there. It looked like Canada. Looks like what I imagine Canada or Austria or something to look like. Switzerland maybe.
And or parts of Australia could look like that.
Parts of
Australia. If you're listening and you're Hollywood lightweight.
Yes, that's true. I was going to say parts of Africa, of course, but no, you're right.
We can make
parts
of Australia look like that.
Australia, I think we did.
I think we have.
Probably in a Gold Coast room of green screens, but do they still do green screens? Probably more just... Actually, entirely CGI.
Yeah.
There was no need to have any... There wasn't a human in there, but...
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Yes, okay. So that we haven't quite got to that moment. But so after a brief confrontation, Kong convinces Zuko to lead him to the tribe's lair. So Kong has a battle with, he punches that gorilla out. His tongue's out. He goes in thinking, hey, my people. And he tries to make friends with Zuko, but Zuko bites him.
He's been looking for other apes.
Yeah.
Great apes.
So he's stoked, but...
Kaiju.
And I think they skip over it, but little Diddy Kong Suki, he takes him on a bit of a... It feels like he tries to stuff Kong up.
Couple of times, yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't trust him yet because he's all cute when he first arrives.
It big green eyes.
Reminded me a lot of my rescue dog, actually.
Yeah.
Larry. He's all cute. Yeah, the big eyes.
Larry's nothing but cute.
Puppy dog eyes. And then you get close to him and he bites your hand.
You talk such a big game on Larry, but me and Larry, and I know you don't like to hear this, but me and him get on better than you do.
You do, probably, yeah. You actually do. He bit me on the week.
I love Larry so much. Never bit me.
But
I have been bitten by a Jack Russell before. So I understand. I've never gotten over.
But Zuko, he's trying to set Kong up a little bit because he doesn't trust him at the start. And we, but also Suko's got red fur.
Yes.
And he's hanging out with black furs.
Yeah, so he looked, yeah, you think that's going to pay off at some point, but I don't think it ever does.
No.
Because you asked, you actually
unless
asked
it comes
me,
up in Kong.
Is he an orangutan? And I'm pretty sure no.
Like, we didn't understand his name was Suko. They might also have covered.
That's true. Suko might be redhead in Kong, Kong language. Yeah. So, yeah, the two slowly bond on their journey, and Suko does end up taking him, Kong, to the tribe, and that's where they meet its tyrannical leader, Scar King, who battles Kong with the aid of an ancient ice-powered titan called Shimo, basically like an even bigger Godzilla, only and it's ice-powered.
Ice-powered Godzilla, yeah.
Yeah. And again, like in Kong World, you go to the ice levels.
So this is what I meant. This is why they've called it Godzilla X Kong. It's a multiplication.
Yes.
We've got two Godzillas now.
And now we've got multiple Kongs.
We've got a whole island of Kongs.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So really it should be called Godzilla X Godzilla or Godzilla
squared.
Godzilla squared
plus
Kong squared.
Kong times...
Kong times
780 X. Or X, Kong X.
Yeah, yeah. Kong X.
Yeah.
Because we're like, you know, we have to solve.
We have to solve
it.
That.
Yeah. Solve for X.
Yeah.
When you watch the film. And everyone gets a notepad on the way in.
And a calculator.
And a calculator. T3.
T3+.
T80. T3 is a Terminator, I think. But is it? I've never
Texas
seen it.
Texas Instruments. And yeah, you have to solve for Kong. Solve for X.
So. I had a hand-me-down, multiple generations hand-me-down. I had the TI-82 when
me
everyone
too,
else had
yeah.
the 83.
I felt so self-conscious. It was really, you couldn't do much with the TI-82. Everyone else was playing the Mafia game.
Yeah, that's right.
And the snake or whatever.
Yeah.
I was solving logarithms.
Yeah, no, I was just doing maths. Boring. So Andrews, who I forget who it is, but I'm guessing it's Rebecca Hall, and Gia, alongside... Titan veterinarian
I'm
Trapper.
I'm the oldest sibling.
Me?
Yeah.
Andrews and Gia.
No, you in your life. How did you get a hand-me-down calculator?
Oh, no, I'm not the oldest sibling. I've got an older sibling. But, you know, hand-me-downs can come from cousins.
That's true.
They can come, you know, they come a long way around.
Sorry, I got caught up on that small detail.
And both my parents are teachers. I'm sure they were probably just, they'd confiscated one 20 years earlier.
Yeah.
They had to. I remember them blowing the dust off it before handing it to me. So yeah, we've skipped over, this has skipped over how we've met a few different ones. So you got this sort of, you called him like a home brand Chris Pratt.
Oh yeah.
It's the English vet.
He's the English guy. What's
bit
his name?
Charismatic guy, Trapper.
Yes, Trapper. But what's the...
Dan Stevens.
Oh yeah, yeah, cool. He's from a bunch of stuff.
Oh, is he? Okay.
I've seen him before.
But you see...
But he, his whole energy in the film slash movie... He's very much like he's the kind of
slight comic relief.
Slight comic relief, but he's a bit of a bit obnoxious but handsome and sort
it's
of
a bit charming.
Bit charming. And then he comes in with like fun music. Whenever he's about to do something, there's some fun rocky music.
Yeah, throwback music.
Yeah.
80s. There was a Kiss.
Which is that's Chris Pratt energy in Avengers, I think.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, he has the 80s.
He has
soundtrack,
like a ELO.
Yeah. And that one that that Swedish band that has that weird intro, that Ooga Chugga. What a bizarre, that being a song by a Swedish band, having that intro.
Yeah.
None of that makes sense.
That feels Eurovision-y a bit.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. It all makes sense.
Yeah.
Actually, you've convinced me quickly. So now Kong's in the Kongland. But there's also the ice Godzilla named Shimo. And Shimo's ice breath damages Kong's right arm, gives him instant frostbite. But with Suko's help, Kong escapes. Basically, Suko goes out here.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a cave that he was being told to hide in, but it ends up being an exit.
Yeah.
And then you've got...
that was the only English Suko spoke for the whole...
Yeah, he said, this way.
Yeah.
Come quick this way.
Me, Suko, come this way.
Kong loses his axe, though, to the Scar King as well. And the Scar King, we should say, has this blue spike.
That controls the Ice Godzilla.
Yeah. The Ice Godzilla is sort of held against its will.
Yeah, it's in chains, which is pretty impressive because we could not tame Godzilla.
No.
The humans could not do anything.
And we've got opposable thumbs. Oh, no, gorillas do too, don't we?
Yeah.
But we've got, what have we got? We got the different kind of something.
Yeah.
We've got dexterity where they've got strength.
Yes. And we also have TI-83 pluses, whereas they had the TI-82.
They're probably up to 84s now.
Probably. Man, the thing about Scar King as well, which I think is worth noting but never really gets addressed, is that he is also a dirty ginge.
Yeah, so there's two redheads, and it's not at all alluded. I'm like, oh, there's going to be a reveal that Zuko's son of the,
of the
king, Scar King. But then it kind of makes it look like one of the... So the Scar King is basically using the apes as slave labor. It's unclear what for, but they're moving heavy rocks, and if they faint or anything, then they get killed.
Yeah, but it doesn't look like they're building anything.
Yeah, it looks like a... You know, it looks like a... Maybe they're mining.
I feel like I've said this before, maybe on this podcast or something else, but it's like the villains in these worlds... Marvel Cinematic Universe, the MonsterVerse, Star Wars, they always live in the most depressing... They're like supposed to be the most powerful.
You understand why they're so cranky with...
always dark. And
the universe.
It's always just one big seat and it's so cold and empty.
Yes, it's in space or whatever. You think of that Thanos?
Yeah. Thanos and the Emperor in Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like it's like, what are you...
Yeah. I mean, open the blinds up.
Yeah.
Get a bit of sunlight and get a bit of vitamin D in.
Get a bit of that.
Maybe you're going to start feeling like spreading the love, not the hate.
The inner earth sun.
Yeah.
Get that. Yeah. Open the blinds up. Let that shine.
Speaking of inner earth sun, we did think that Zuko was the inner earth sun of the... but no, it seems like he wasn't. And the guy I think we thought was the dad, the king, kicks into the fire pit. But anyway, they get out of there. Then our team of the doctor...
Is this making sense to the listeners so far?
I don't think so.
No. Well, it exactly captures the experience of watching this movie.
Yeah, it's a mishmash.
It's a mishmash.
It's a hodgepodge.
Yeah, but the point is, well, you're not here for story.
No.
We're here for big things.
Yeah, hitting each other.
Clashing up against
big things. And that happened, and including the pyramids.
Yes.
Oh, the other guy, we haven't talked about Paperboy, who's from the last
movie. Paperboy from Atlanta.
Yeah, he...
Tyree Henry or something?
He talks his way into it. Brian Tyree Henry?
Yes, okay. Because he is in the previous film that we watched.
And he's helped save the day.
Yeah.
So he ends up getting dragged along again because...
He's just a blogger, he's doing a podcast.
But the doctor trusts him and knows what he can do. He's... pretty jaded by the fact that no one will believe him.
He's seen some shit.
And he just hates that no one believes him. So he wants to go, come along and prove that it's all real.
Because once you've seen those things, you probably can't just live in a normal life.
And this is a sort of futuristic world, right? Like the flying machines and all that sort of stuff that they have are very futuristic. But for some reason, he's carrying with him, and maybe there's a reason for this, a camcorder.
Yes, and a Polaroid.
And a Polaroid camera.
He must feel a bit like Matt Stewart circa year 10.
Yeah.
The rest of the school's rocking the TI-83 plus. He's got dusty old.
And you went to school T3. After me. Your 82 would have really been ancient by
because
the time you
were there. Because I got it from my brothers, the traditional way that a hand-me-down works, which is I'm the youngest sibling. And so it came through the older siblings.
Well, you imagine how my younger siblings felt. Probably like you did. So it's all very messy. But this is the part, I quite like this part where the team are heading through the jungle. The arrogant, angry leader of the gang is the pilot, a Scottish fella who gets eaten by a tree after making a big stand. Are you coming this way? And the English...
you can understand his obstinance, though, because the crew that they've brought along, this is Monarch.
Yeah.
Okay, these guys can build these ships. They've got... such level of intelligence and expertise. But then this crew that they assembled to send into Middle Earth or what, Hollow Earth, is, the Dr. Eileen.
She
makes sense. The dentist?
He's like the vet. He's like the kaiju vet.
He's a kaiju vet. So that kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
And then...
He's already... We haven't talked about it, but he's already changed over Kong's tooth.
Yes.
This skips over a lot of stuff.
Kong's tooth. That was a fun bit, actually.
Yeah, I didn't mind that bit.
Kong... That's kind of seminal to how this... It almost is the inciting incident, I think. It's when Kong comes up to the Earth.
Yeah.
Because he's got a sore tooth.
Yes.
Which angers... God's, oh, no, that doesn't... Nothing happens from that.
It's so funny how we're coming here, we've just come straight from the cinema, and Saran's like, how do we talk about that last film for 2 hours? And we're not halfway through, and we're coming up to an hour already.
Yeah, okay. Well, I
think the more confusing a movie is, the longer you have to talk about it.
It is. There's just a lot happening. Okay, so, yeah, but so this guy, the pilot guy has... And then he has the little girl and the blogger. That's his crew.
Yeah.
So he would be a bit like,
come on, just come with me. Yeah. Shut up and come with me.
I'm the only one who's qualified to be doing this.
But you know, in these adventure movies, whenever a side character is getting a bit arrogant about this is the way, you know he's about to get eaten.
Yes.
By a tree in this case, which is a bit of fun.
It was a bit of fun. They had good timing throughout the film, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. They always made the right decision. Well, everyone apart from the Scottish pilot. Yeah. So, yeah, they find this monarch outpost. It's been destroyed. I think the vet's trapper's going, whoa, look at this. And the doctor's like, hey, they've got families. Bit of respect, which I thought was weird. Like, well, families aren't here. Yeah. You're in a pretty full-on situation. Everyone's reacting there how they react.
Yeah. He's got charisma.
They see there's a signal and they follow that, but they also see this huge handprint and they're like, is that Kong? No, it's not Kong. Whatever it is, let's get out of here because...
We never found out who that was.
No, I guess it was... Who would that have been?
It wouldn't have been the Scar King.
No.
So, yeah, we just never found out.
I guess we probably did.
Oh.
But I don't remember either. Because it wasn't... Unless he takes out the ice Godzilla for rides more often. Could have been it, maybe.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So, yeah, then they follow this signal. They get to this, what looks like, I was assuming it was a huge monster egg sack. But they didn't. They just knew that it was okay and they opened it up.
Yeah, the dentist prods it a couple of times.
Yeah, it gives these electro shocks, which looks sick. And then the little girl just goes to it. I guess that makes sense. So she's
from the tribe.
She's from the tribe, and she's hearing thoughts. The tribe don't talk. They've evolved beyond that. It's all mind stuff. They find it turns out she isn't the last of the Iwi tribe. They've all escaped and made it here, I guess. Or is that where they were always from?
Well, are they from Skull Island or no?
That's where they... I think they were on Skull Island, okay. But I don't know if...
Where is Skull Island?
It's on... I think it's on Outer Earth.
Surface Earth.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. So it's all within the... Yeah. For some reason, I'm still in my head believing that there's some outer space place. But it's not.
I mean,
it's
in a... They're going to have to... Eventually, they're going to have to go outer space, aren't they? So the kid is socializing with her people... and then the doctor, who's her adopted mum, starts going to trap her. Oh, no. I'm going to lose her.
Yeah.
So selfish.
Yeah.
She's just like the whole time, she's like, she's the last of her people.
Yeah.
It's really sad. I got to protect her. And isn't this exciting? This must... I don't understand why you're not... I can understand why you'd be sad in part, but...
You're sad for your loss, but you've got to be happy for... This relationship wasn't just about your...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she does sort of get to that eventually, but she... She conveys it in, I reckon, slightly manipulative language.
Yeah, but the thing is that it doesn't matter about the language she uses because it's the girl can hear her thoughts.
Oh, that's true. Very good point.
And her thoughts are like, I don't know how to phrase this, but
yeah,
this is what I feel.
Very good point. This movie answers every question you might have on it.
The temptation is to think this is just an action blockbuster with big special effects and big crashes and explosions, but it actually is... quite a nuanced.
Yeah, it's film, it's cinema, it's art.
Yeah.
They go to this temple and she instantly, the doctor goes, oh my God, it's hundreds of years older than what's on Skull Island. So maybe this was the original one and then they went to Skull Island.
Yes, okay. She's shocked. She's never seen anything like this.
She's shocked, and then, but also just reading it fluently.
She can translate it. Yeah.
These pictures.
And she gives quite a eloquent take on it.
Yeah.
She's sort of like, oh, at this point they had a battle with the, what did they say? The beast that ate the star.
Yeah. And then one of the other ones goes, Godzilla.
Yeah. Like who they call the beast that ate the, and it's sort of just hieroglyphs.
Yeah,
but she's
yeah.
given it like a bit of flair.
Yeah, there's no way you can read hieroglyphs like that. But there's no way. But it also
no, I'm saying she's a poet.
No, that's true. And it's like she's reading it, and we're seeing it play out in other places as well, which worked out beautifully. You couldn't script it better than that. Yeah. So. The prophecy also indicates that Gia, the daughter, would be the key to reawakening Mothra. And, I mean, if for people who know kaiju, which I imagine is quite a few people listening, 50% of our listeners are big kaiju fans. The other 50% don't know anything about it. But me and Seren had heard of Mothra, but we didn't know Mothra was just a big moth.
No.
And we were so excited when Mothra was produced on screen. So, yeah, the girl... the prophecy says she'll be the one that awakens Mothra, and that's what happens. She goes and wakens it, and then this huge moth,
yeah.
kind of like just like a sparkly, cool-looking moth. Well, like, how's this going to beat things? But it sort of beats them with communication.
Yeah, it's a good talker. They would have had to make a choice at some point, the people making this movie, about what does a moth of that size sound like?
Mm.
And it's an eagle.
An eagle, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I think that's what I would have guessed as well.
Yep.
I imagine what they did was they probably recorded a moth and just turned it up as loud as it could go.
Yes.
And they, oh my God.
Oh, it sounds just like an eagle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll just, yeah, then they just would use an eagle sound instead. Or maybe that is just a moth sound turned up.
Yeah, maybe sometimes when you see an eagle up in the sky.
It's just a moth actually all quite a lot closer.
Yeah.
That's a perspective trick. Yeah, you're letting what you're hearing affect what you're seeing. And that can happen. So, yeah, Mothra comes out. I mean, I feel like we could probably explain this better than this thing does because this, I don't know if this is the best synopsis. No offense to wikipedia.org, but
I wouldn't use that site again.
Mothra goes up to the main world. I think Gorilla Kong goes up.
Yep.
And to get Godzilla to bring it back down. And instead of just going, oh, they figured out that there's these portals that go all around the world.
Yes.
And they say that. They go, well, these portals probably go all the way around the world.
Yeah, we thought it was just here. But yeah.
And as it turns out, they all link up to huge man-made things. And that's not a coincidence.
No.
So they pop up at the...
It's an annoyance to the graphics department, but it is not a coincidence. Mm.
The Pyramids of Giza, they get there. And Godzilla and Kong have a battle. Oh,
there's a portal. Kong's plan is to lead Godzilla into the portal, I think.
But I don't know why he doesn't just like poke his head out and go,
come
with me.
Yeah, just flick him off
or
something.
Yeah,
give him a bird.
Bet you can't come down this tunnel. But instead, they have a full-on fight instead. And he's now got one electronic arm.
Yeah, he got
which was lucky. There was a prototype that just happened to fit his frostbitten arm.
Yes, very convenient.
It was lucky. It was the right. It was his right arm.
They ran out of funding. They pulled the funding because it was too dangerous.
Yeah.
But luckily they had funded enough to build a right arm for Kong.
Yes,
and that just happened to be the frostbitten.
They have this huge fight. Then Mothra comes and says. I'm not an eagle, but I sound like one. And that convinced them both to go down. Now they're teamed up. Now it's Godzilla X Kong.
Yes.
Or Godzilla plus Kong. And they go down. The trapper, the vet, he goes, I've got an idea. Well, don't go to the earth. That'd be crazy. This one's even crazier an idea. And you're like, oh, he's going to get those electronic birds from before.
Yeah.
Which he does. He goes, gets this electronic birds.
So you
which
picked
they set
it.
Up earlier.
So it wasn't that crazy, trapper.
Yeah, Trapper. Just for the record, Seren just rolled his eyes. And then it's just all of them. So you've got Ice Godzilla, you've got Normal Godzilla, you've got Evil Kong.
Scar King,
who's Scar King. Not just a gorilla. He sort of looks more like a ginger.
He
looks like a mix between a chimp
and an orangutan.
Maybe. His arms are long.
Long arms.
Way ganglier. Longer legs, longer arms.
And that's probably why he's pissed off, because people have called him Scar King, which is a superficial thing.
Mm.
He's got a scar. What of it? Call him the Long Arm King.
Yeah, I've got... I'm more than that.
There's more to me than my scars.
Call me the King of Limbs.
It's my favorite album.
Which is that now? Trapper now? That's crazy. My favorite Radiohead album's pretty crazy. Oh yeah, King of Lings. Okay.
That's
King
crazy.
King of Lings. That's a Cameron Ling cover album. But what are we talking about? So yeah, everyone's down.
Yep.
Ice Godzilla, normal Godzilla, which is nuclear Godzilla. All the apes, and Scar King is riding the ice.
Diddy Kong's down there.
Then you've got the humans. Then you've got these electronic birds.
Yes.
Is there anything else? But they're all just going hammer and tongs.
Yeah, it's hectic. And this is down there. You haven't talked.
No.
About it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And then they're playing with the gravity down there. But something happens and they go anti-gravity.
So this society, well, I don't know if you covered that, but this society who live down there, who Gia's people, they can manipulate gravity. And that's how they've survived down there for so long.
Yes. And then, but something happens and they pop up through one of the portals, this time to Rio de Janeiro, I think.
Yes. If you listen to this podcast with the explanation that's given by Brian Tyree Henry and the little commentary throughout in the film, this movie will make so much sense.
Yeah. We see a brief sort of scene of everyone's enjoying the beach, and then this wave starts crashing, and the CGI is not great here, and we follow through the barrel like we're surfing, and then that wave freezes and all the kaiju are up there now and they're battling it out.
Yes.
And the body count of humans in this film would have been in the millions.
Nobody cares.
No. It's a very populated city. So many buildings go down. I don't know if the big Christ statue gets hurt, which I assume would.
I think they're sort of teasing that. But I don't think it does get destroyed at the end.
Saving that for the next film.
Yes.
Which is sort of Brazil's big thing. That's their version of the big banana. But then, so the fight goes on. Eventually, the little blue spike that Scar King uses to control the ice Godzilla, it gets freed. There's a lot of individual fights, but then eventually, while the bad Kong, the Skarsgård, is killing Kong, little Diddy Kong comes along with Kong's axe,
and he
shatters the blue spike, which breaks the spell from the Scar King over the Ice Godzilla, and then Kong starts to go to Pound Town with his fists on Scar King. Then
it would be reasonable for him to go to Pound Town,
without
his fist, because it's been a long time since he's seen.
That's true.
Another,
you'd imagine that would be a natural instinct.
That might be the plot with the proboscis.
Yes. Now the Ice Godzilla's free from the spell.
Uh-huh.
It freezes the Scar King, Bad Kong, and then Kong picks him up and shatters him, but it shatters him off screen.
Yeah. Too hard to show.
Yeah. I would like to have seen.
I think that's the pivotal moment of this film.
And they sort of just tilt the camera up. Tilt it down. We want to see the bad guy get shattered.
We missed it. We didn't get the shot.
We didn't get the shot, but I don't know. We alluded to it. the baddie's dead. And then that's the end, right?
That's pretty much it, yeah.
The final paragraph here, let's see if this tells us anything. After undoing Shimo's ice age with his atomic breath. Oh, yeah, that's right. Godzilla breathes atomic breath into the
because Ice Godzilla caused the last ice age.
Yes.
And we were scared that might happen again.
Yeah. And I think breathing like atomic breath into the sky shouldn't have any follow-on problems.
It's definitely not worse than an ice age.
Yeah. I think those two cancel each other out.
You've got to pick the lesser of two evils.
Then Godzilla returns to rest in the Colosseum, what's left of it. And Gia reunites with Andrew, so that's the daughter and the mum. And the mum's like, hey, I understand you got to go live with your people or whatever you decide. And she's like, what do you mean? I'm staying with you.
For the listeners, Matt just rolled his eyes.
Mothra restores the protective barrier of the Iwi's home down in the underworld. Called it something different every time. The Hollow Earth.
It's so good that Mothra is not a villain in this movie.
Mothra is like, I didn't know. Mothra is like pure
angelic,
good.
Angelic, yeah.
Sort of like, it's like Mother Nature.
Yes.
She's
sort of the Mother.
What's the Moth version of personified?
Mothsonified.
Mothsonified. Yeah. She's Mother Nature, Mothsonified. Yeah.
And that's the scary part is if she is a villain, how they've got to get a giant moth ball. This system we've got here, we've designed a giant moth ball.
Oh, no, please, not Mothra. And then Kong returns with Shimo, which I think is the Ice Godzilla, yes. And Suko, which is Diddy Kong,
Diddy.
To Hollow Earth, where he becomes the Ape Tribe's new leader, which is a better scenario because he's a much better leader. And
he's benevolent.
He doesn't make, I'm assuming he's not going to keep them working in the mine or whatever.
No, but bear in mind, it has been some time since he's been to Pound Town.
That's true.
So his motivations might be a bit askew.
That's true.
But they don't insinuate that at all. That's sort of, I'm reading into that.
Yeah, you are. You're reading a lot into it, aren't you? Now, quickly, what's your score?
Oh,
out of bananas, how big's your bunch? So for new listeners, we do the scoring system here is it's a bunch of bananas. How big's your bunch? How many out of that bunch? And how ripe are they bananas?
Okay. Right.
It's pretty straight. It's as straightforward as the movie's plot.
Okay, I'm going to say, and what I'm in doing this, I'm really testing the listener's telepathy.
Okay.
Okay, because I'm going to say my bunch is 7 bananas.
Same, yep.
And I'm going to give it from that bunch, and these are the words that are coming out of my mouth, but see if you can think what I'm thinking.
Mm.
I'm giving it 7 bananas. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And how ripe? Are they perfect?
Rotten.
Rotten. 7 out of 7. A perfect amount of bananas, but they're probably only good for making banana bread.
You could, yeah, which is delicious. Pancakes?
I'm going overripe, but not rotten. My bunch is also 7. I'm giving it 3.5.
Okay. I left the cinema feeling very excited to see Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, I'm so excited for Planet of the Apes. And which of the primates on screen did you most associate with? Because I don't know if you know this, some sort of scientist and previous guest on the show, Andy Matthews, has told us many times before that chimps and humans share about 98% DNA.
Oh.
So which of the on screen
did I relate to?
Did you relate to, and what percentage do you feel like you saw of yourself in them?
I saw a lot of myself in, it's sort of hard to describe because there were so many apes in this movie. But it was one, you remember the scene where they were going down into the prison and they were like working on the quarries and stuff and lifting rocks? Yeah, there was one sort of back right and he's just like taking a little breather.
Yeah.
He had a rock and he put it down and just sort of leant on it and rested on it. And that's the guy, 100% relate to him.
Yeah, yeah. I remember during the film thinking, geez, that aura is familiar. And I couldn't quite put my finger on it, but it was your aura.
Oh.
And I'd say probably a slightly more foreground character. I'm going to say King Kong, you know, natural born leader, have been to the dentist.
You do stop work.
I've wielded an axe.
Until the dentist fixes.
Yeah, I do stop work. So just get my TI-82 out here, work out the calculation. Carry the 2. All right, 69%.
Ah.
Yeah, there you go. All right, so all we need to do, actually, I did say on the last episode, if we get any new reviews on iTunes or whatever, I'd read some out. If you give it 5-star reviews, I will read them out. So what have we got? This one comes from Sapface from Great Britain, writing, hashtag bring back the monkey house, 5 stars. This pod is for the chimpions on this world. It's also the bomb, which when it goes off sounds like ba-boom. Why do monkey love this pod and bananas? Because of the appeal. Are these puns? Great work, GJ from the UK. GJ from the UK.
I love that.
I love that.
That was
There's a lot going on there. That review had as much going on as the plot of the movie we just talked about. So thank you so much for that. Kano 1610 from Great Britain says incredible 5 stars. Can't believe I listened to Matt all alone talk about a movie I haven't seen for half an hour. Amazing stuff. Episode of it last week. I did message you to see if you'd be up for it, but you were busy, so I did a solo. A transformer that turns into a gorilla. Who could imagine such a thing? Kano, I'm with you. It was fantastic. And finally, this one's from Rodrigo Valentin Diaz from Argentina. You might be the reason why I noticed last week we were on the Argentinian comedy charts, and maybe it was because of you and I don't know how big the chart. Probably needs to be more than one person to affect a chart, but hey, every bit counts. Rodrigo writes, Monkey Business, Matt, let's talk Hit Monkey Part 2. 5 stars. This is my first time writing a review, and it's solely to kindly request a follow-up on Marvel's Hit Monkey. Recently, I rewatched the show and then re-listened to your podcast, episode 134. I thoroughly enjoyed it, but it was a bit disheartening to hear you mention a quick turnaround for the next episode, which hasn't materialized yet. Yes, I've got to do that for sure. Sorry about that. Evan's just hard to get a hold of. And Peter, I've got to try and get those two back again. But yeah, I'm going to have to rewatch it. We'd watched it all and the episode was going so long that we ended up turning into a two-parter and just have never done the second part of it. But Rodrigo, I appreciate that timely reminder. And please, well, you know, I'm doing sporadic episodes of this now. Saren and I, we couldn't believe, this is a golden age of on-screen primates, because at the cinemas right now we have Godzilla versus Kong, I should say. Don't like the name. It should be all these other things, but Kong first.
Yeah, Kong's the superstar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone's rooting
but
for Kong.
But what you don't understand, Matt, is that in multiplication, the Bodmas rules.
Oh, yeah.
Either can go first.
That's true.
Yeah.
Got to follow
Bodmas.
You get
the same result.
But also Monkey Man, is it?
Yep.
And
Dev Patel.
Dev Patel and Monkey Man. And
we've got Planet of the Apes.
Planet of the Apes is about to come out. So, geez, it is a golden age.
Big push for the 2024 Olympics. I think they're trying to get primatology.
Primatology. I think, yeah, I mean, hashtag primatology
at the
2028 Paris Olympics. Let's get that hashtag trending. So, yes, people can support us on Patreon at patreon.com/togoonpod. There's links in the show notes for these forms where you can write a question or suggest something that we watch or consume or whatever. Maybe I'll read out a few of these because there's a few and we haven't backed up a bit, but I know you got to get going soon, Saran, but I'll ask a couple quick questions. This one comes from Chris Wigg from Sheffield.
Kristen Wigg.
Do you think it's Kristen Wigg? Could be. Might be holidaying in Sheffield.
Beautiful. Pretty cool.
Beautiful neck of the woods.
Pretty cool.
Pretty cool. Anyway, Kristen Wigg asks, which of Godzilla or Kong do you reckon would win at a standard-sized game of Jenga? Standard-sized. That would be whoever wins the toss and goes second. I think they'll win because I think probably either of them, standard-sized, first one is going to knock it over.
Yes.
Because I would say Kong, you'd think I'm giant. Because he's got hands.
Yeah.
Whereas Godzilla's got little T-Rex arms.
Godzilla has no chance.
No.
Given Godzilla slept in the Colosseum and then couldn't even get out of it with that.
Yeah. Hopeless. Great question. But yeah, I think it's going to come down to the toss, that one.
Yep.
You may as well have a tossing of the coin competition, which I don't know if they'd be too good at. Standard size coin, it would have to be a kaiju coin. Dan Faulkner from Ramsgate in UK writes, have you seen the trailer for Godzilla X Kong yet? Kong has a mechanical power fist and it's ridiculously cool. Well, obviously this was a question asked a few months ago. We haven't seen the preview. We've seen the whole goddamn thing.
Yeah, and it is ridiculously cool.
Yeah, we didn't talk about it enough, but it's fantastic.
The power fist is.
It's the power fist. Yeah. And I don't know exactly what it's doing, but it makes it all sound and it somehow makes his punches stronger.
Because you shouldn't be able to make a kaiju stronger, but they found a way.
They found a way, which was great. Orla McGrath from Dublin, maybe we'll finish with this one, asks or writes, as we're in the heart of everyone's favourite season, awards, again, this is a few months ago, I'm sorry, I think it's only fair to mention the glaring omission of a primate category at these shows, especially after learning that the Cannes Film Festival has a canine category. What? Side note, Messi won the Palme d'Or this year, and if you haven't seen his performance in Anatomy of a Fall yet, I highly recommend. Good tip.
Messi is amazing. And Messi was at the Oscars, and they...
Lionel Messi?
He won the Palme d'Or. Is that the football one? What's the... No, the Palme d'Or is the can. Palme d'Or is for the best dog.
Oh, Messi is the name of a dog.
Messi is the name of the dog.
Okay.
But Messi, yeah, incredible. And they have to, they kind of poison the dog in the film. Oh, that's a spoiler. But I don't want to ruin Anatomy of the Fall, of a Fall. It's a good film. It's one of the best films.
Have you, that isn't a spoiler, it is, or you're about to.
I was about to, so I don't
know. Okay, because yeah. I was going to say, I don't really don't like to edit these.
Although, but they showed it in the Oscars. They won, I think they basically brought Messi to the Oscars to prove that they hadn't hurt this dog.
Oh,
the dog
right.
was acting, so they started making it do what it did in the movie.
That's amazing. Oh, anyway, so Orla says, if they were to introduce a primate category at the Oscars or whatever, who would be your pick for this year and or what performance was truly snubbed from a previous year?
Although this is a big year because we're trying to get primatology into the Olympics,
Olympics
and we're
yeah.
also trying to get primate
into the Academy
into
Awards.
The Academy Awards.
I think that's a good call.
I'm going to say, if I may go first,
yeah,
Diddy Kong, what's his name? Zuko.
Oh, Zuko, yeah.
Because of the nuanced way that he tricked Godzilla, Gorilla Kong, into thinking he was friendly, and then all of a sudden he was testing
it. Yeah.
I thought that was a very nuanced,
great range.
Yeah, great range. Pulled off that part very well. For a young actor, for a young first time
yeah,
role, probably.
Yeah, I think first time role.
Introducing Zuko, and I thought there's a big bright future ahead.
I'd say for the performance of Caesar that in the first trilogy of...
Predictable.
Yeah, that is pretty good. Should have won it.
Do it off this year's films.
Well, I mean, the Academy Awards from this year are from last year's
from
films.
The last. Okay.
And also, but if you listened, said performance that was snubbed from a previous year.
Sorry.
Geez, two of these, sir, and I'm pointing at my ears.
Okay.
But yeah, I think Suki for sure is fantastic. What a great performance.
Young talent.
And Diddy Kong in the Mario movies also.
Yeah.
Worthy of, I think.
Have these people been signed?
Yeah.
Because they are talent.
Finally, Orla says, to answer my own question, the only primate movie I remember from last year was Netflix's The Monkey King, but a previous snub performance has to be my boy Dunstan from Dunstan Checks In. What a performance.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great call. I think maybe Lifetime Achievement Award.
Yes.
Could definitely be something. I think there should be.
I think the in memoriam is going to be very long.
Yeah.
Awards.
Yeah, they're going to have to backdate. Can you get a posthumous in memoriam? thank you so much. That's a great, great question. And I think we've got two campaigns. What would the hashtag for that one be, Saran?
Hashtag primates award season.
Yeah, I think that goes without saying. Thank you so much to Orla, Dan, and Chris. But like I say, there's a link in the show notes.
How about this? Hashtag Oscars so human.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
That's
playing off the Oscars so white.
Yes.
Yeah. But I think the meaning of that might get a bit lost and all of a sudden, you know, fish fans will be coming out of the woodwork and whatever. Whereas
it's a risky game.
It is a risky game.
Door,
yep.
Yeah.
All right. Where can people find you, Saran?
In Brisbane and Sydney at the respective comedy festivals there, 8th to the 12th. Is that correct?
That's right. And in the 13th, we're doing a Who Knew It.
And then the 15th, the 17th and the 19th in Brisbane, and there's a Who Knew It up there as well.
Yes.
And then on top of that, at Saran Comedy on Instagram.
Follow.
Please do.
Follow us. I'm Matt Stewart Comedy on Instagram and Facebook, MattStew_art on Twitter, if anyone's still on there. But yeah, Instagram's the main one. And it'd be great if you could follow us. That would mean so much. I don't know why I made it sound like it was that important. please give us a review. We'll read out 5-star reviews on future episodes. Well, I think we'll be back to do a Monkey Man episode sometime soon. But if you've got other suggestions for other things, please add them in via the link below. Now, Seren, we always finish with a classic sign-off. I get you to riff it in the moment. Thanks so much for joining us. And as we always say here at Primates Podcast...
Why take two when three is better than four?
Yours are the weirdest. They're always the weirdest ones.
What do people normally say?
Something relevant to the episode or monkeys or anything.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.